Hello, everybody, and welcome to Born Hack 2023. The first organizers arrived here about a week ago, and it is insane to look around and see how much has changed, and all the volunteers who have helped have done so much work and deserve all our gratitude. We'll get back to that later, but it is fantastic to see everybody putting up camps and moving into the field and unpacking and starting to build our temporary home for the next week. It's, well, I mean, technically, Born Hack is a two-week event, right? It's only the volunteers know that secret. So you get to be here much longer if you help out with build-up and tear-down. No. We are very excited. This has been a year of many challenges, and well, it always is, but maybe some particularly big ones this year. In particular, some sad news. We lost one of our organizers, Jesper, this year, or last year in October, very suddenly and way too soon, and it hit all of us hard. We dedicated the tagline for this year to Jesper, make legacy, because we feel that, well, everybody wants to leave a legacy, and Jesper absolutely did leave a legacy. He had a tremendous impact on Born Hack as an organization and on all of us personally. And he left a giant void. Thank you to the people in Info and the people in Wellness who have stepped up to fill the void after him. Thank you in particular to the new radio team and to Magnus, who have sponsored the new radios and the new repeater and everything, so we can continue the work that Jesper did in every sense of the word. There's nothing really we can do to properly mark this, but I wanted to do a minute of silence, but instead I think that doesn't feel right because Jesper wasn't the silent type. Instead, we'll do 30 seconds of silence and then 30 seconds of applause to celebrate his life. Starting now. Thank you all. It means a lot. Give me 30 seconds.
Cheers.
Yeah. It's not a fun first slide, but let's pick it up from here. The code of conduct is pretty basic to Born Hack, and it's actually one of the things that Jesper also helped out a lot with. I forgot to mention that Morten from the NOC team stepped up and took Jesper's place in the code of conduct team. So thank you also, Morten, for that. The code of conduct, you probably have all seen it by now because it's taped to the inside of the toilet doors, so it's pretty hard to miss. We take this seriously, and we expect you to do the same. It is about being nice to each other and respecting each other's personal space. It's a photo policy and much more. Make sure you read it, make sure you follow it. If you have questions, we are available. There's a conduct team that you can speak to. And we usually don't have to resort to any major code of conduct things. People are generally very, very nice to each other here, and we really appreciate that, and we think and hope that that will continue, of course. But the code of conduct is there to be a guideline in case some people have questions about that. Reach out to the conduct team, please. Okay, like I said, everybody who, some people even showed up on the first day or second day, so have been here almost a week along with the first organizers who arrived. It is such a big job putting up all this stuff, and the rain has not, the weather has not helped one bit. It has been not only raining, but very unstable, so occasionally raining and occasionally very hot, so you have to change in and out of outfits every 10 seconds. And it's been a lot of work, and to the people who take extra days off of work and stuff to come and help make this happen, and also in the other end who stay for the teardown, and an extra special big thank you. Can you please all stand up, people who helped with the build-up, so we can see how many people there actually is. Born Hack is like the bar, always a work in progress, and even though we have had a bit more of a less stressful build-up because we had a few more days and some stuff got delivered and put up earlier than usual, so it's been a nice example of a build-up the way it should be, and not too stressful and not too many long nights and stuff. But it would be crazy to think that we have remembered everything and gotten everything done. So there's still small things to do, and there'll be stuff that keeps popping up over the week, and stuff that we just plain forgot about. We'll put jobs on the whiteboard by the info desk, so if you come by and see something and think, I can do that, and I have some time and I want to help out, then by all means, please talk to the info desk or somebody, and if you need to, or just do the job if it's easy to do. If you see something wrong and you can't fix it, then please let us know. We will find somebody who can fix it. I have a venue map at some point, and the venue continually evolving over the week is exemplified by, I made these slides 2 hours ago and the map is already outdated. So bear with me on that. I'll try to explain what happened when we get to it. But we're rolling with the punches, and we'll make everything work, of course. Oh, here it is. It's not terribly big, but yeah, okay. So well, you know, I'll just use the colors. Okay. So we are in the white square in the middle of the light blue triangle, the general camping, and this is the speaker's tent. Across the road, straight ahead, is the bar. It is hard to miss. It is a big, colorful, loud place with all the beers. We have northeast of this general camping, in the pointy end, we have the caravans this year. They moved to the other side of the road. And across the road from them, we have some more general camping for our tents. On the other, between the bar and general camping, is the orga area with the info desk and all that. It is also the organizer's personal village, and where we go to chill out and get away from people, like everybody needs to occasionally. So please, unless you have something urgent, try to reach somebody in the info desk or somewhere else, and please stay out of the orga village as much as possible. Not that we don't love you all, but we also have our stock of booze and everything in there. We want to just keep it free of people. That is for us to drink. No. Yeah. Following the central main road south, where there's an entrance into the food area, and past the food area, there's the noisy camping area. Party camping area. You don't have to be noisy down there. And on the other side of the road from that is the cozy camping area, which we introduced last year when we moved the speaker's tent down here. It has turned out to be quite a nice little camping area, and it's very popular this year. It's nice to see. Going further up the road, there's a big shower and toilet building. All the showers are down in the south end of the venue. There's a separate building that has two showers and four toilets, and inside the main building, there's two more showers and two more toilets. And also, there's two toilets down here by the bar. That's the venue. If you have questions, oh, and the silent area, the neon or light blue area in the top is the silent camping, and the eastern part of that, or maybe the western part, it's not fully clear yet, will be converted to an extra caravan area because we're kind of running out of space. And there's ample space down there, so we'll kind of remodel the venue a little bit last minute, forced by, well, we kind of estimated wrong, I think, how much room caravans take or something. Okay, the info desk is across the road from, and a bit down the road from where we are now. Many of you have probably been there to get your wristband. You can come back to get more hacks, get some mate if the bar isn't open, ask questions, pick up merchandise, pick up the badges when we get to that. They will be ready soon, I think tomorrow or the day after or something. The team needs people to help cover the shifts. It's not difficult work. You sit down and just help people, and they have a thorough introduction, so most people should be able to do it. And they really need some help, so please go to the info desk and ask them if you're interested in helping out. They would love to be able to cover the shifts without having to work all of them all the time. For those of you who haven't been here before, we have something called HAX. You might have heard about it already. It is our internal local currency. We pegged it to the Danish krone, so it is worth the same as Danish kroner. So if something costs 150 HAX, it is the same as 150 Danish kroner. They can be bought at the info desk or at the bar when the bar is open, or you can buy them online and just buy them on the web shop and use the ticket in the bar or the info desk. You can also use them at the food, apart from the info desk and the bar, the food vendor accepts them, and they can basically be used like real money. Except the only way to buy alcohol is with HAX. You cannot buy it with real money, which is the main reason we have them. And so you will need, if you want to go to the bar and buy anything with any kind of alcohol in it, you will need to go get some HAX in the info desk to do that. They are these little, we haven't even gotten any yet, little colored coins. You'll see them everywhere. Okay. If you ordered village tents or tables and chairs and stuff, the tents you probably found, tables and chairs, if you still need to get that, you can go to the info desk. Please coordinate with the info desk. Don't just take stuff because then we have no chance to keep track of it. It is not locked in. We know you can just walk up and take it, and we know you have paid for it and stuff, but please coordinate with us. It is really tricky to keep track of stuff when people just take it and tell us in the bar at 1 a.m., yeah, I took two chairs and four tables, and like, yeah. So please go do it properly in the info desk when they are open. We may have a few extra tables and chairs and benches. Go buy the info tomorrow and check if we have any surplus, if you forgot to order or you need some extras. We have electricity all over the venue thanks to the hardworking power team. They have rolled out more than a kilometer of the very heavy cables, and the power points are more or less all over the venue. Please keep them covered from the rain so we don't have any outages because something got wet. And if you see one without cover, please fix it yourself or notify somebody who can fix it. Please don't just ignore it and leave it and think somebody else will do it. Let's everybody help out, and things will get fixed much quicker and stop from breaking. There's an example here of, it is not the biggest picture, but a happy looking PowerPoint. It has a bag over it, and the bag is secured with some pegs in the bag, or clamor, what are they called? Some secured in the bag. It is cloth pegs, yeah, just the other kind of pegs. Okay. connect the, your cables if you need an adapter, because we don't have we have the weird Danish standard here. Maybe we have some. Do we have some in the info desk or not? I don't know, actually. Ask somebody who knows. we don't. Well, yeah, we'll figure it out. Come ask us if you can't get power because things don't fit. We'll make it fit somehow. Along the same lines, the network team have been working hard to get the network up and running. You can get gigabit Ethernet to your table. You can get Wi-Fi. You can even get a fiber uplink if you arrange it, especially with the network team. So if you have special needs other than Wi-Fi, you can absolutely get that sorted. We have three SSIDs. The BoneHack NAT is the one that acts mostly like a home internet connection. The BoneHack 802.1x is with 802.1x authentication, funny enough, and the IPv6 one is the with the modern IP family without the legacy IPv4 one. We get constant requests to use more bandwidth, and I guess that applies this year as well, does it not, NOC team? Yes. Great, so please use more bandwidth. The bar, as you can see, is progressing nicely. It is always fascinating, even to, I think, even to the people building it, how it's going to look. But to everybody watching it during build-up and in the first days, it, so much happens, and it's, it becomes increasingly more awesome as the days go by. Please use the bar. It is an important part of the money that we use to make this event work. Especially this year, we've had a few sponsors fall away, and it's been difficult to make ends meet. So we've had to cut a few things. The hot tub, for example, is not here this year. Very sad to say, but we had to make some difficult cuts here and there, and that was one of the things that we had to take away. We hope it will be back next year. But please use the bar. We absolutely depend on the profits from the bar to make this whole thing work. We have a very nice selection of craft beer and booze and can make cocktails, and there's all the Mardi in the world. We might have slightly overdone it on the Mardi this year, so so please. Yeah. There's many kinds and many bottles of each kind, so that's great. The bar has closing hours. We have a permit to sell booze from the authorities, and that ends at 2 a.m. every night. So there's last rounds at 1:50. Get your purchases in there. Get in line, because we have to stop selling alcohol. The bar doesn't necessarily have to shut down entirely, but we cannot sell any more alcohol. So buy your bottles and stuff before 2, and then stick around.
When does it reopen?
Well, I mean... that is thinking like a hacker. No, we better not. We better not play games with them. But yeah, it opens when the first bar staff wakes up the next day. Usually around noonish, I would say. So, yeah. Okay. When we are a lot of people gathered, we generate a lot of trash that is inevitable, both from food and drinks and everything. And it is a lot of work handling trash from just a few hundred people like we are, generates so much trash and so much deposit, like empty bottles and cans and stuff, that we need to handle it properly from the beginning to not generate massive amounts of work. And also, if it's not handled properly, we get wasps and 1,000 nasty things as a result of not handling trash properly. So. We have some trash cans around, and there are signs on them. Please look at the signs before you put stuff in, so you use the correct trash cans. we have five different ones. Two of them are for deposit. They have this circular logo thing. It's on the trash cans as well. And if the bottles have that, you know the system from wherever you live. And the deposit cans and plastic bottles go in one container, and the deposit glass bottles go in another container. Apart from that, there's a glass container for just like booze glass bottles or whatever, glass that doesn't have deposit, and one for cardboard, and finally one that doesn't fit for all the trash that doesn't fit in any of the others. Is that pretty clear? Two different kinds of deposit, one for cans and plastic bottles, one for glass, and then there's glass, cardboard, and the rest. Okay? Fantastic, because the people sorting it at the end will send you happy thoughts forever if you don't generate too much sorting. It's, as you can imagine, sorting 300-400 people's deposit after a week or two is not fun work. So the less stuff we that has been put in wrong, the less we have to sort, the better. So please, please spend the extra 10 seconds, check the signs, put it in properly, and please and thank you from the sanitation team. Yes?
What about plastic?
Plastic what?
Just general plastic.
No. Yeah, they don't. In this municipality, they haven't joined the rest of us in the 21st century. Yeah.
So it's not
Bonhack's
decision?
No, absolutely not. No, we would sort in 10 kinds if we could, but they're just going to mix it all together when they pick it up anyway, so there's no reason, sadly. We hope next year we come back and see 10 trash cans outside, but... we've been hoping that for 4 years now. Let's see when it happens. Sure. Good question, though. Okay, like I mentioned, we've had a rough time of it with sponsors this year, but we have managed to find some new sponsors, and we are, of course, always tremendously grateful for all the support we are getting. Some sponsors pay cash and help just with the general finances of the event. Some lenders stuff that we would otherwise have to spend money on getting, which is just as good as getting money, and it all helps out. And even small sponsors that may not be big companies and can't put in that much, it all helps because I would much rather have five small sponsors than one big one if the amount is the same, because it's more it's just nicer. So. To all the sponsors, big and small, thank you to all the people who jumped in when the shit hit the fan, and we really needed to find new sponsors on pretty short notice. Thank you all for jumping in to assist me and the others on the sponsors team and coming with new leads. If any of you have an idea for an organization that might want to help, please send them my way or towards the sponsors email, and we can reach out to them. The absolute most successful way to do it is if you know somebody who can make the decision about giving some money or not, and prepare them and then put us in contact with them. That method has close to 100% success rate, and just getting a contact, like, call this dude in this company, has a close to 0% success rate. It is a massive difference. So if you know somebody, can go poke your boss and say, hey, we should pay 10,000 to this event next year because they are really cool and they help the community a lot and such, it helps us a lot. And it's barely any money in a company's budget for the whole year. Almost no matter how small a company, except ours. So thank you to all of you who helped find sponsors. I'll go through them now, and there will be their logos on the website and everything. We have a small paper with the badges this year that also have the sponsors logo on them. Please send them your thanks and thoughts, and use their services if you at all can. The big ones this year are DK Nog, which is another event, and they're full of lovely networking people, and they stepped in when they heard we were struggling and helped out of Hello Event. Samdata is a big labor union in Denmark that, among other things, has HK is a big labor union, and Samdata is the IT department for IT people. And Zebra Group is my employer that has lots of companies, among others, the one where I'm employed, called Mind Future. silver sponsors. Epson has, for the fourth year in a row, I think, sponsored this very nice video setup with a high intensity brightness projector that works even when the sun is shining and the weather is sweet. So thank you for that, and that's a good example of something we would have otherwise have to go out and rent, and they are very expensive. JobIndex and Semaphore are both new sponsors, and thank you to those as well. Among the sponsors are also Bornholm Spirits, who continue to supply. We started out at Bornholm, but they continue to supply Saberblöder and other nice things for us at a very nice price. Fiberby is providing the internet connection, not the fiber, but the actual uplink to the internet. Magenta, PCBWay are sponsoring the badges, the PCBs for the badges. And Raymion are sponsoring speakers, and Roskilde Auto and Skade Center is sponsoring the shuttle car. And the rest are financial. No, TrickTech is hosting sponsor for the Bornhack stuff. And the rest are financial sponsors, and thank you so much to them. There's a full year now for the next until the next Bornhack, and a lot of the sponsor stuff takes some months to settle, and it's really tricky to do 2 weeks before Bornhack. So if you have an idea, get started in the start of next year, not in in June or July, because it's it might be too late for decision makers have gone on holiday and everything. So think spring is a good time to be thinking about sponsors for Bornhack. Oh, that's quite the segue. we are in an area that sometimes has, it all the time has ticks, and sometimes they latch onto people and sit down by the ankles or in humid places on the body. They are nasty. They can sometimes, rarely, but occasionally have a disease, it can infect people and can get really nasty. So if you discover a tick, get it removed as soon as possible. We have tick removers in the info desk, and CERT can help remove them. It can be difficult to check, like it's the back of the knees and weird places. Have a friend help you in a tent, might be fun. And make sure you check when you're in the shower. And if you feel that might be a little, they are very, very small. They can look like just a little piece of dirt. They are, some of them, incredibly tiny. So make sure you keep an eye out for those little fuckers. Okay. Bicycles. The info desk is the place to go if you need to ride a bike somewhere, maybe go shopping, or maybe just go for a nice ride around in nature, or whatever you need. We have helmets and locks and lights and stuff for them. Different sizes. There's a few children's bikes too, and there's a trailer or two as well. They are free still. This is one of the things we considered introducing payment for when we were, because we are struggling a bit financially. Instead, we suggest a small donation to cover the cost, but there's no, they are free, but please consider donating something if you take a bike. The parking lot, most of you arrived by cars, so you will have noticed the parking lot. I just wanted to mention, please park sensibly and like don't, goes without saying, don't double park and don't park so other people can't get out. There's plenty of room down there for all the tickets we sold if people park sensibly. Last year we had an annoying incident where we have to run around and find somebody who was parked so other people couldn't get out. So please consider everybody when you put your car down. If there's any issues in the parking lot, please notify the info desk. We don't necessarily know because we're not all of us are driving around. We arrive here and then we leave 2 weeks later. So we might not notice. So please notify us if there's something with the driving plates or someone is parked badly or something. If you ordered t-shirts, hoodies, and merchandise, it will be produced during the week, and when it's ready, we'll announce it, and you can pick it up in the info desk. It is being produced by Floma and a few other volunteers. We're doing a lot of work for it, and it's always such nice merchandise we get. So thank you for all the work you're doing. Badges. This year's badge is NFC focused. It consists of two badges actually. There's a reader, which is the active part that has the computer, and a tag, which is a passive thing that can be read with the active part. It's a very cool setup, and it enables a lot of fun NFC hacking. And we hope to see some cool things, cool applications of it. As mentioned quite a few times by now, we are kind of broke, and other events have charged for badges for a while, and we've never done that because we kind of feel that we would love for this to just be a part of the ticket. We haven't announced this earlier because we've been trying to secure sponsors to make it fully free. That has not been possible. A badge is 100 hacks. If you have a full week ticket, then you have a QR code in the same PDF as your ticket, and you can use that to get a badge for 100 hacks. If you want additional badges, or you are here on a one-day ticket, or you want one to take home to a friend or something, it's 150 hacks. Hopefully, next year, we can go back to the full week tickets, including a badge in the price. Sadly, this was the best we could do this year. The badges will be presented tomorrow. Thank you. The badges will be presented tomorrow at 1300 by Floma from the badge team, who will talk about the design and what it can do. And I'm sure there will be a lot of fun things about it. They look I wanted to include a picture, but I didn't have time. They look fantastically cool. So I'm looking forward to seeing them all around the venue. So we still have a few teams that need members. The info team is continuously onboarding new people. They always need people to set up there. Sometimes they have to sit two or three people to manage the load, and it just takes a lot of volunteers to keep the info desk open. The video team manages this stuff right here, makes sure stuff is recorded and streamed, and we can watch the recordings later, or at least sit in the tents and watch the streams live. Not everything is recorded. Please make sure you note in the program if there's a little recording icon or not. And if not, you have to be present here if you want to see it. The stuff that's being recorded, if you're prevented from seeing it, you can catch it later on a stream. If you want to join the video meeting, the video team, there's an onboarding meeting tomorrow, Thursday, at noon here in the speaker's tent. They have a very thorough onboarding, and it is not. It looks a bit intimidating, all the equipment, but it is easy to do, and you get a first row seat for all the talks, and we would appreciate help with that. The sanitation team, colloquially Team Shit, handles, they do not clean toilets, might occasionally unclog one, but cleaning is handled by an external cleaning company. But they handle stuff like making sure there's hand paper towels and soap and stuff in the toilets, and the trash being emptied and put in the container, and the deposit bags being emptied and stuff like that. So it's it is handling all the waste, but not actually cleaning toilets. We have people for that. They're also onboarding continuously, and you can go to the info desk and speak to Anke, I guess, if you're interested in joining. On the website, there's a list of teams, and you can see there which ones still need members. We've also, as a new initiative, started a daily volunteer meeting every day at 1400. It is in the star tent across from the info desk. And it is an attempt to keep some of the awesome communication going we've had during build-up. We have meetings after each meal, and we have breakfast, lunch, and dinner prepared by Jonathan, which is always fantastic. And after that, we have a talk about what needs to be done, and people put up their hands and go do stuff. And that kind of stops when the event starts because we lose contact to all the volunteers. We don't have these regular meetings anymore. And we wanna remedy that by doing this daily volunteer meetup at 1400. Everybody, you don't have to be on a team. If you don't have anything to do, if you want to help out, show up at the star tent across from Infodesk. One of the recurring themes will be, since we are a bit broke this year, we could not afford as much cleaning as we normally can, so the food area will not be cleaned for us. We have to do that ourselves. And one of the things we will do every day at 2 is to take a bunch of volunteers, go down there, do the tornado, make it look really nice, and hopefully we can keep it going. You are also, of course, all required to clean up after yourself when you use the food area, when you cook, when you do dishes. If you spill something, please fix it yourself. It's not necessary to say, but we know that when many people use a kitchen, no matter how careful everybody are, there's going to be spills and stuff that needs cleaning. And since there are no cleaners doing it, we have to do it ourselves. If you see something, clean it up, absolutely. That would be fantastic. But we are planning to take a team of people once a day and give it the once-over so it stays nice and inviting to use. So if you feel like helping out with that and other stuff that pops up, it'll be every day at 1400 in the volunteer tent. We hope to see many people, and we are excited to introduce this new. We think it's going to be a great addition to an already great event. CERT are here to take care of us in case something happens. It is our medic team. They can take care of small and big things, for like ticks or small cuts or worse. We haven't had much of the worst, but we have people to handle it in case it happens. We have a heart starter. We have first aid kits. We have educated people who have been in situations where they have to take care of people before. And we are in good hands. They are wearing orange vests. They can be called on the radio. You can call the Born Hack phone. There will also be if you have a decked phone, then there's a you can call 112 on the deck phone, and there's a lot of ways to get in touch with them, and they will also be visible on the site. There's always 24 hours a CERT person on duty. They need more people, if I recall correctly. Yes, and they have a team meeting Thursday, that's tomorrow at 11 in the cabin. I can't see if you're nodding.
Yes,
thank you. In the cabin. And they need members, yes. You don't have to be a trained anything, but it of course helps if you are. Photo team will wear white vests. It is they are recognizable for a good reason. We have a code of conduct, like I mentioned, and one of the important or one of the parts of it, they're all important, is that. You're not allowed to take pictures at Born Hack unless everybody, all people in the photo, agree to the photo being taken. This means I cannot take a crowd photo here. It would take forever to ask everybody. I have a microphone, but still, generally, you can't take crowd pictures. It's tricky and it's sad, but we have to protect people's privacy and prioritize that over people's desire to take cool pictures of crowds. We do, however, want to see cool pictures, and that is quite the dilemma. So we have a photo team. They all know, you all know the code of conduct because you've used the toilets, but they know a lot of people here personally. They know who they can take pictures of and who has already said no. And if they see new people, they might come and ask, is it okay to take a picture here? You are free to say no and stay where you are. You are free to say no and step out, and the photographer can take the picture, make it work somehow. But they are visible in white vests and of course a piece of huge optics on in around their neck, and they will ask permissions for pictures. And if you feel like a picture has been taken where you weren't asked, or maybe you were in it or you are not sure, you are very welcome to go ask the photographer to see the pictures and browse through. And if you feel like you're on one of them or you are then it can be deleted, but it shouldn't happen. They are careful and they know what they're doing. I'm not sure. Does the photo team need more people?
Yes, everybody is
welcome. Okay, so if you like taking pictures and this sounds like something you could and would do, then talk to Tobias Fonsmark and he can introduce you to the whole to the thing. There's a meeting tomorrow at noon. Is it also in the cabin?
Yes, exactly.
Also in the cabin. Great. The game team has prepared a token game again this year. The tokens are little text strings. They are hidden around the venue, offline and online, on physical signs, or it could be on servers or networks. There's all kinds of things. There are hints in your profile on the website. And I think they will keep adding tokens throughout the week. And the hunt is usually great. The hunt is usually it is competitive and fun, and it's kind of like a treasure hunt for nerds all around the venue. It is a great tradition, and I hope many of you will play. I know the game team has put a lot of work into it. The last slide is just a thank you to the volunteers. This event would not be possible without the volunteers. That goes without saying. We are 11 people in the Orga group, and it would absolutely not be possible to do all this without 30 or 40 people helping out with carrying stuff around and helping us with our crazy ideas. And hey, we want to build a weird thing here, can you? And people just run over and start building. And it's just fantastic to be around people with this kind of drive and this kind of passion. And it's so nice that you throw that drive and that passion towards helping us make this event even more fantastic. So again, thank you all. Please consider showing up for the meetings at 1400. We've been a bit cheeky and added it to the schedule, so it will show up in your Giggity and in your feed readers and your calendars and stuff. So give it a try. Show up if you have nothing else to do. I added this slide in case I thought of something to say while I was talking, but I haven't. So I don't think I have anything else, but if any team leads may have comments or stuff I forgot to include that would be relevant to include now, then we can do that. We are getting a microphone, just a second. Is there? Oh, I didn't see it. Oh, sorry. There's four SSIDs, and one of them is just called Bonhack, and it's a plain old public V4 and V6. You get a real IP address. Make sure your firewalls is properly configured, because that's like going on the old school internet back in the 90s. It's not. Oh, damn. Okay. I'll repeat because the audio was a bit low. If you ordered village gear and you ordered the black upholstered chairs, You ordered the white garden chairs and accidentally instead took the black upholstered chairs. Please bring them back because we need them. The people who actually ordered them need them. And come back and get some white garden chairs instead. Basically, the garden chairs, the white ones are good for the grass and the other ones are good for when you have a floor in your tent. It's kind of late to change now because we can't change the order. But if you did get the upholstered chairs and you have those on your receipt and you know what I'm saying. If you took the wrong chairs, please bring them back. Thank you. any other questions?
Just ask without the microphone.
Yeah. How do you submit a category to Hacker
Jeopardy? Oh, that's a very good question. The Hacker Jeopardy will be on tomorrow and then again Saturday and again Monday for the finals. Sign-ups is to info@bornhack.dk by mail. We already got the first sign-up a few days before the event. The game team always needs more categories. If you've played Hacker Jeopardy before or been a spectator, you know what this is about. It is find a fun category, find some questions that are not too difficult. It is the one trap people always falls in is like, okay, I'm an expert on this, I'll make a category so difficult that I'm the only person in the room who can answer it. And that's just not a lot of fun to other people than the person who knows all the answers. What we want is categories that go from the most difficult one, maybe 25% knows it, and the easiest one, almost everybody knows it, and it's a chase for the buttons. It's much more fun that way. Trust us, we've tried both ways, and take our words for it. So please send categories to... Is there a
game-team@bornhack.dk?
And send your categories or send questions if you don't know quite how to formulate it. They will be happy to get you started. If you're playing and you submitted a category, please let us know the day you're on so we don't accidentally schedule your own questions when you're playing. Yeah, yes? For the first time in a few years, we have a working deck network. Thank you to the PUC team for getting that up and running. This means you can go to the website, register a phone number in the phone book there with your account, and then you get an activation code. You dial that on your deck phone, and you are rolling. It's easy, and it's fucking awesome. And I'm looking forward to getting my own phones hooked up as soon as I don't have a million other things to do. So, any more questions? I can't really see. There's one down there.
You forgot to give a hand to the Orca team.
Oh. Thank you. Thank you. We love you too. We forgot to say you can spot the organizers from these very snazzy latest fashion black vests that we're wearing this year. So black vests for Orga, white vests for photo team, orange for CERT, and the yellow vest is other volunteers. That's the color scheme for this year, or for hopefully going forward. Okay, fantastic. We got through it in under an hour. That's a new record. And I almost didn't cry, and we're pretty good. So,
see you at the bar!
Yes, exactly. See you all at the bar. Thank you for everything.